Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. James and John were asking to be at the right and left of their leader, Christ. This passage has many layers. First, all we have to do is recall a little bit of history and what comes just a little while later in Jesus' life. Who is to the left and the right of Christ later on that hillside? Two criminals, recall, were crucified at the same time as Jesus, one on his right hand and one on his left, which Mark interprets as a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. According to both Gospels of Matthew and Mark, respectively, both of the thieves, in fact, mocked Jesus. Luke, however, mentions that now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him and in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." And then he, the criminal, says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replies to him, "Amen, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." So on the one hand, Jesus is making clear they don't want to be at the left and the right hand of Christ. But on the other hand, Jesus is reminding James and John of a more fundamental truth. Jesus came to serve, and he expects his followers to serve others as well. I recall one Holy Week when I was in discernment for the priesthood, and I was still very active as a lay leader in the church in Belleville. We had a service on Maundy Thursday, just as we did here at St. Bartholomew's, and the traditional service was the foot washing, in which we commemorate Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. And I was going to go first and wash the feet of the first person, and then that person would wash the feet of the next person, and so on, until all who wanted to participate could do so. Well, up came the very first person for foot washing, and she was an extremely elderly person, and I dutifully washed her feet and made the realization that she would have a terribly hard time squatting down to wash the feet of the next person. And so it quickly became obvious I was going to wash a lot of feet that night. Now, rest assured, I am not a foot person, so this task was not one I enjoyed, and it certainly caused me great pause as I continued my discernment process. Do I really want to wash all those gnarly feet of parishioners? Do I really want to be a servant leader of a small parish? And afterwards, I thought deeply about the foot washing and the hospital sitting and the home visiting. And I recognized clearly, that's what servant leadership is about. That's what Christ is telling his disciples, James and John. And this Christianity thing is not about leading or even following. It's about serving. How do you serve? In a small parish, every single one of us has to serve. Some are on altar guild, some are acolytes, some teach Sunday school, some serve as verger, some serve the community with Meals on Wheels or Crafts Tuesday, and some are serving in their own way in their own lives. We have some we never see here at church who've spent a lifetime serving and caring for others. They are serving. And we are not to lord over others our position in life, but rather to serve. It's hard in a society in which we reward people in power. Instead of rewarding the CEOs, the reward really belongs to our teachers. Think about it. The job of teacher these days, it's full of administrative duties having nothing to do with teaching children. It's full of rules and regulations and tests and measures, and yet teachers return to the classroom for the time they get to teach the youth in our community. And are they paid well for this privilege? Not at all. Are they respected in the community as much as CEOs? Not very often. And does the media talk about their great contributions to society? Not very often. And so teachers are doing exactly what Christ tells his disciples, serving their communities. Who else serves the community? Of course, we can think of all those helping professions like doctors and nurses and mental health professionals and the like. But what about our own? Sitting right here in the pew today, now retired, or trying to anyway, man in electricity. I guarantee he served his community many, many times when he would rather stay in his own air-conditioned home, but somebody's power went out, and rather than ignore that call or get to it later, he went out. He went out to the elderly person's home to show them that it was a mere breaker that had tripped, and he reset the breaker and went home. That is service, and that is what Christ asks of each one of us. Christ admonishes us to look at what we're doing in our own lives to serve. And serving is not just something we do for a while and then stop. We keep serving, and maybe in a new way. Our discernment for ministry and service is lifelong and sometimes requires we do something we thought we were done doing. Serving on the vestry for another term. Teaching Sunday school another year. Playing the organ a little while longer so we don't have to use the programmable version of organ music. The humanness of a live person playing is much more joy-filled. So as you begin to think about your role as a Christian in today's world, how are you serving? Who are you serving? And if you do not know how to answer those questions, perhaps there's some discernment for ministry work in your future. We are all called to ministry, and one tiny sliver of that ministry is called ordained ministry. So what are you called to do? Let's get to it together and support one another as we seek ways to serve our own community right here in Hempstead in Waller County. Parker Palmer, in his little book called Let Your Life Speak, tells his own discernment story as he aged and teaches us how we might also seek our own vocations throughout our lives. Palmer reminds us it's not really about lofty goals, but rather growing into our most authentic selves. True vocation joins self and service. And as Frederick Buchner defined vocation as the place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep need. The place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep need. So this week, as you are considering where you will serve, where is your deep gladness? And where in your community is there a deep need for that joy? Amen.